Shall we read very well-known words from the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 16? The Acts of the Apostles in chapter 16. Well, we shall read from verse 19, Acts chapter 16, and from verse 19. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And the people spake unto him, the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing God with all his house. I want to draw to your attention five simple thoughts from the words which we have read. Firstly, we see the power of God. Then we shall see the presumption of the jailer. Then we'll see the perception of the jailer. Then there is the person of Christ. And lastly, there's the promise of salvation. The power of God. We see here very clearly and very simply that God has power to speak. God spoke in a very special way through an earthquake at midnight when that was least expected. And he spoke, note this, not that the prison doors might be opened and not that Paul and Silas might gain freedom. God spoke in his power here in order that a jailer who had demonstrated his rebellion against the things of God and his resistance of Paul and Silas, in order that that jailer might be saved. God spoke in his power, and he spoke strongly, so that the jailer might be in no doubt. An earthquake came, in order that he might be awakened from his sleep, as we read, and made aware of his condition and of his need. And God has power to speak in this meeting this evening in the city of Vancouver. And I believe in the word, God is speaking loudly, so that men and women, just before it's too late, did you know? The jailer was saved just before he entered death. And God is speaking in these days loudly, just before the end. We speak of the end of this dispensation. That means just before the Lord Jesus comes. God is speaking. in order that men and women in their sins, you, if you're not saved, if you do not know the forgiveness of sins, God is speaking that you might be saved. That which most people regard as important and have done for many years is money. And God is demonstrating in these very last days that money and economy is a very shaky thing. Now the Bible would tell me that that's a sign of the last times. When rich men begin to weep and howl when they see the worthlessness of that which they regarded as most important. And God uses such things to speak. And God is speaking to in other ways in this world. You know, he moved once before to judge. That was in the days of Noah. And he judged then because he saw that the wickedness of man was great in all the earth. He saw, amongst other things in Noah's day, the immorality of men whom he had created. And men are behaving, and women, in a way in these days which demonstrates that they are totally ignorant of the existence of a God who cannot look upon sin. And diseases have entered this world through man's sin, which would be the voice of God to us all. The end is near. The opportunities are few. God has power to speak. Sometimes he speaks by taking from this life other people whom we know. Maybe he's speaking to you. Every time you hear of a death, every time you're made aware of someone passing from this scene and into eternity, you should stop and ask yourself the question, if that were me, where would I be? And I want to underline one thing. If you in this meeting, and I trust it is your experience, if you have an understanding of your sin and a feeling that you're not ready to meet God and a desire to lay hold of salvation in the Lord Jesus, that is the voice of God. It's not the voice of the speaker. Because God alone has power to speak and to make you aware of your condition before him. He has power to speak. He has power to see. Do you notice that he saw exactly what the jailer was going to do in the darkness of midnight, and he conveyed to Paul the message which he needed? His power to see. That used to stir me. I didn't bother for many years about the gospel message, but this did stir me. When we read in the book of the Revelation that where men who die in their sin without Christ are raised to stand before the great white throne of judgment, we read these words, and the books were opened. You see, I read in this book here that all things are naked and open for the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Man looketh on the outward appearance, God looketh on the heart. He sees everything. Every action, evil action that I have committed, he sees, and they are recorded in the book. Every evil word I have uttered and you have uttered, he sees, and it is recorded in the book. Every thought, he sees, and it is recorded in the books. All things are naked. You can hide from me. You can hide from your parents. You can hide from your best friend. But you cannot escape the eye of God. He has power to see. And I read in the Epistle to the Romans in chapter 14 that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. There's a bookkeeping, and there'll be an account given. And God sees. And we cannot escape that power which he has to see. He has power to save. He alone has power to save. And he has power to, as I've already mentioned, the time's moving on, he has power to send his Son to take from this world his own. Because we read, of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven. The Son doesn't know, the Father only. And while this meeting is continuing, the Lord Jesus Christ could be sent to receive his own. He could come. And if that happened when the meeting was in progress, every believer would in a moment be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and you'd be left behind to meet his judgment. But do not trifle with God. Consider his power. I trust he is speaking. Everything around would indicate today that time is short. The return of the Lord is near. You have an opportunity to be saved tonight. You mightn't have it tomorrow. Power of God. The presumption of the jailer. This jailer presumed that he could go with the majority as far as his decision about Paul and Silas was concerned, as far as his attitude to what they were doing and what they were preaching was concerned. When the rulers and the magistrates committed Paul and Silas to his care, he slapped them into the inner prison and put their feet fast in the stocks. He didn't stop to think for himself. He presumed he could go with the crowd. Now, a terrible lot of people presume the same today. Just because the majority of people ignore the gospel message and live their lives for everything that this world has to offer, they go along with the multitude and presume that we can keep with the majority. That's a very dangerous thing to do. Now, you're going to meet God. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. We shall, as I quoted already, every one of us, give account of himself, and God will not ask you what the majority of people did. He'll not ask you what all the people of your race and religion and creed did. He will ask you what you have done with the Lord Jesus, whom he sent to provide salvation and the forgiveness of sins. Don't presume that the majority is right, and don't presume that there's safety in the majority. You'll meet God alone. And he presumed something else whenever he saw the prison doors opened when he awoke from his sleep. He presumed that the prisoners had escaped. He presumed that the prisoners had escaped. And he presumed something else. You see, what was it which this jailer regarded as the most important thing in life? Have you ever thought about that? This jailer presumed that the most important thing in life was his job, his good position. Because when he thought that the prisoners had fled, then he presumed that his job was absolutely lost. and there was nothing else left for him to live for, and he proceeded to take his own life. Now I hope you don't presume that the important things in life are position, education, money, nice home, nice car, pleasure boat, be it what it is, which all men seem to be living for. Don't presume that that is important. That's the devil's lie. What did he do when that job was gone? He was going to end it all for himself, for he had nothing else left. Now, when I lift Norwegian papers over the last year, scarcely a week goes past when the results of increased interest rates and people who have borrowed for this, that, and the other thing, and they can't keep up their payments, and they've been taught to understand that this is the way to live. These are the things to have. This is the vital thing in life. And suddenly it's gone. So what do I read in Norway's biggest newspaper? Almost every week I read of a man who takes a gun and shoots all the members of his family, his wife, and himself. That's happening regularly in Scandinavian society. Why? These people were taught to presume that the important things in life were temporal. And now they're gone, and there's nothing left. Now don't you build on those things, because they'll all one day disappear, and there'll be no hope left. What a tragic presumption. But thank God for his perception. You know, as about he takes out his sword and he is but seconds away from taking his own life and plunging himself into an eternity without hope. When Paul cries with a loud voice, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." A revelation from God. And he cried with a loud voice. You know, Paul didn't start to play on his guitar and to say, "Well, don't you think it would be a good idea if you and I came together one evening to have a little enjoyable time together?" No, he didn't. Paul cried with a loud voice. It was urgent! What a step between you and death. What a step. And to take that step outside of Christ will mean to suffer under the wrath of God on account of your sin forever. The jailer perceived that God had spoken. None but God could have revealed to Paul from the innermost prison what he was going to do out in the courtyard, and it all for himself. And I hope you perceive, you far away from God, disinterested in the gospel perhaps for many years, on the very brink of eternity, and millions in the world have never heard, and yet again this evening, God is saying, "Do thyself no harm." He's saying, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that you, the wicked one, the sinner, turn from your evil ways and live. Turn ye," he's saying, "turn ye." Why will you die? God loves you. He wants to save you. Listen to his voice. Perceive that he is speaking. What do you first in his perception? He called for a light. Ah, the jailer understood that he was in the dark. In the darkness of sin. In the darkness of sin, you're going downwards. And you don't see what's ahead. You're in danger of plunging over that precipice which is called death and ending suddenly in the awfulness of hell forever. He called for a light. And if you're in this meeting tonight, and you're on the broad road that leads to destruction, and you cannot find the way, and life seems hopeless, everything seems to be going wrong, then there's one who wants to help, and there's only one who can help, and that's the living God, and He sent His Son to provide the solution for you, to provide salvation for you. Call for a light, and the light's here in this book. If you don't find salvation in the meeting, we trust you do. If you do, don't find it in the meeting, then don't sleep till you consult the light to show you the way to salvation. He called for a light. And in his perception, he sprang in. He didn't say, "Oh, you're still there, Paul. Well, now I'm relieved. I'm going back to sleep. In the morning, perhaps we might talk a little." He too perceived that this was urgent and that God had spared him from eternal punishment on account of his sin. And he comes running. It's urgent. We say in the words of this book again, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And he came sprang in, and he came trembling, and he fell down. Perception again. He perceived now that he had with the living God to do. A God who would have been just in punishing him forever on account of his sin, letting him go. And God, in His mercy, has given him an opportunity for salvation. And he comes in trembling and falls down before Him. Oh, my dear friend, if ever you're going to be saved, you're going to have to get down before God. See that you deserve His punishment. And He, in His love and His mercy and His grace, is extending to you the offer of salvation. Why, fall before Him as you sit in the meeting. Fall before Him, trembling, deserving of your sin, and lay hold of His salvation, which He alone provides. The perception. The person of Christ, in his perception, he asked, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? I'm lost." When he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" he perceived that he was lost. Only lost people need to be saved. Do you see that you're lost in the eyes of God on the way to hell because of sin? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of Christ. Paul didn't attract attention to himself. He didn't attract attention to a religion. He did not ask him to look at a form of life. And we don't ask you to listen to the preacher. We don't ask you to come to the gospel hall. We point you to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your salvation is in a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, the anointed God. This tells me something and tells you something. And we point to Him tonight. Christ is God's anointed. This tells me that from an eternity that has passed, before the worlds were made, God saw you and me in our sins, hopeless, on the way to a lost eternity, and He devised a plan of salvation by which we could be saved. We could enjoy the forgiveness of sins of which we have been hearing. He decided in eternity that's past to send His Son without sin, to die for our sins in order that we might be saved. Do you see that? Jesus, Jehovah the Savior, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came into the world. He who was God became a man. Why that? In order that he might die. As God couldn't die. And we die because of our own sins. He died because of our sins. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe. Rest entirely upon him. Understanding your sin and your need. He alone to save. He is Lord. Not just Christ and Jesus, but Lord of this book we read this morning. This Jesus that men crucified, God has raised him from the dead. He has triumphed over sin and death and hell and the grave. He's alive, and God has made him to be Lord. He's not dead. Death couldn't hold him. He has conquered all, and he lives triumphant. And I know that God is satisfied with his sacrifice and his death because he lives. He's Lord. Have you seen him as Lord? He who came from heaven, died, and arose triumphant. He is Lord. Is he your Lord? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the promise of salvation. Thou shalt be saved. Was the jailer saved? Why the jailer was saved? Look at him. He who cast them in his cruelty and indifference into the innermost prison and put their feet fast in the stocks, immediately he washes their stripes. And he was baptized. By the preached unto him the word. And now he demonstrates by going into the waters of baptism that the old jailer of sins is dead. And buried with Christ and raised out of the water to walk with him in newness of life. He's a new creature. And he set meat before them, he brought them into his house, instead of casting them into the prison. You know, a person that's saved, there's one thing he does, he now loves the people of God. Why, what a joy it is for me to come all the way from Norway to Canada and meet with God's people, and to experience fellowship with them. You can know that too, and that's just a little foretaste of what it's going to be when we get to heaven. And all of this happened straightway. He didn't have to wait. He didn't have to wait till he got to heaven. You can be sitting in the meeting this evening with a burden of sin. Life ahead of you hopeless. Everything black. And if you come and believe in the Lord Jesus and you're saved, you'll be changed immediately. The promise of salvation just depends not on the quality of your faith. Not on anything in yourself alone. It's based on the Word of God. Based on the Word of God. My youngest boy, I remember well, he came to me one Sunday after the morning meeting. I was preparing for the evening meeting. He said, Dad, I'm not ready to be saved. I want to be saved. He was about 14. I said, you know, you're a sinner. I know that. And you need to put your trust in the Lord Jesus, for he alone can save you. I know that, he said, but I'm still not saved. Came back and forward to me two or three times in the course of the afternoon. And I said to him, look, Eric, if I go out from here and I say I'm going down the town, down the mountainside and into the town, and I go off in the car, and somebody comes to you half an hour later and they say, where's your dad? What do you say? He said, I'll say you're in the town. Would that be right? Yes, that'd be right, he said. Why would that be right? He said, because you told me you were going to town. I said,
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Who has said that if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved? God has said it. Can you rely on God's word better than you can on your dad's word or on any man's word upon the face of the earth? Praise God, you can. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Shall we pray?
Our God and our Father, we bow before thee at the close of this gospel meeting to thank thee that we are still in the day of grace, to thank thee that again we have had the opportunity of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to men in Vancouver. We pray, our God, that some in this gathering might hear thy voice, might realize that they are on the brink of an eternity without Christ and without hope. And they might hear thy voice showing them the person of the Lord Jesus, who alone can save. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We pray that someone or ones in this gathering might listen to the message spoken in the power of thy Spirit. They might repent of their sin and turn to the Lord Jesus for salvation. We commend every one to thee in this place. May none put it off. May none go from this place unsaved. We pray, our God, that thou wilt speak in the Savior's worthy name. Amen. Let's sing in closing hymn number 3. Again the blessed gospel I have heard, that word divine and true, and God again has spoken to my soul, O now, what shall I do? Here's the answer. I come to thee, my God, I do thy love believe, I do accept thy gift of life and peace, I do thy Son receive. Number 4.